Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Every Fan for Himself. I'm Eli Webb.
I'm Jaron Jolly.
I'm Jason Kenny.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm more glad you're here.
You guys look good today.
Whoa.
Good. What are you sporting? Go ahead.
Just a shirt and some pants.
A little fit
Got some
check.
Holes in the knees. It's just a comfy thing for me.
That's stylish. Today. That's stylish. What about you, pal?
I've never been a shorts guy, and then recently I became a shorts guy.
You're a shorts guy. Is it? Yeah. I'm not gonna say it.
Say it.
I'm still not a shorts guy.
Really? Neither is Jason. You need to make. You no, guys need to make it. The
None
journey.
None of us have been shorts guys.
Just for comfort.
You have a weak will.
No, I have a persistent wife.
She wants you in shorts.
She wants me comfortable, is what she wants.
See, that's I'm. It's sweet. Not uncomfortable for me to be in long pants.
Yeah, but Jason has his anecdote of him like, I could sleep in jeans, and I think that's crap.
I've never said that.
See, I don't. Yeah, I'm,
no. I feel like we've talked about. You're like, I'm comfortable in jeans. I could fall asleep in them.
I could fall asleep anywhere. Yeah, but like that doesn't
he's
mean
tired. Yeah. Half of their pajamas. but I also feel comfortable in jeans. Do you not?
No, I do. I'm not the type of person to come home and like immediately change into something.
Yeah,
but.
I don't change. I don't. I'm in my clothes until bedtime.
I used to be that way. And now, as I'm getting ready for bed, wind down, I will change. And then, as I'm getting ready to get sleep.
You do a pre
I do a preemptive bed
what?
Get up.
No, you don't. You change out of your pre-bed thing?
Usually, it's just changing out of jeans into shorts.
And then?
What kind of shorts are you talking?
You don't sleep in the shorts, though.
No.
Not exercise.
So you have a pre-bed
outfit. Just kidding, that was really mean. I shouldn't have said that.
What did you say? Did you say pre-diabetic? What did you call me?
No, I called you fat. I'm sorry.
No, I'm fat. It's fine. I've changed. I'm sorry. It's all right. You're stupid.
I didn't mean to say that.
See, no, yeah, that's baffling to me.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just in my outfit till the day ends, unless I'm in like formal wear.
Right. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife doesn't understand it.
Yeah, my wife doesn't either. And I kind of, that's why I transitioned.
See, to me, nothing seems more comfortable than a dress.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, if I were that kind of guy, I'd be good in a dress.
Yeah.
But my wife will be in a dress and come home and change. I'm like, what's more comfy than that?
Than a dress?
Yeah. And I get it. I mean, it's different, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, I haven't been wearing dresses my whole life.
I mean, we're all
so
big.
I don't know. But I was just talking. We're
All big moo-moo.
I'd do a moo-moo if I could.
We're all moo-moo heads.
I don't know if I could do a moo-moo.
Yeah, sure. We're not all moo-moo heads. You're not even a moo-moo head.
No, I'd go for a moo-moo.
You like a moo-moo, but you
I feel,
don't.
I feel
no,
like
I,
it's
I haven't
too,
committed yet. I'm ready.
I would.
But
I don't like how
same.
Open it is at the bottom.
No, no, no.
Like,
no
I want to be
thing.
Fully covered.
No, moo-moos are long, though.
They are long, but they're still just a gaping hole at the bottom.
Oh, you just mean, oh.
No, here's the thing. The closer.
If you were to jump.
Yeah.
Down a flight of stairs.
Or if I was gonna, like,
you'd balloon.
It's flying up.
Yeah. Sure. Here's the thing.
I'm a pajamas guy.
I'm
like
trying
pajamas.
To get
you
to.
Oh, see, I don't
do pajamas either.
I
can't actually. I don't do long pants to bed. I don't like pajama pants.
Unless I'm sick.
Oh. Okay.
I love pajama shorts. Great.
That's just shorts.
Well, yeah, but they're like soft.
Sure.
And
like a cotton short.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. The closer I can get to like Ebenezer Scrooge levels of nightgowns,
right.
Which is kind of in the Moo Moo family.
The
exactly.
Honk
that's
moo,
the thing.
Then I'm there. Yeah. Honk shoo moo moo moo.
Yeah. Honk me me me.
Honk me me honk moo moo moo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just.
Little candle.
I'm like, I've still got my belt on at the end of the day.
Honestly, I
if
think
I
that's
forget,
what made
I
him.
I forget. It's coming with me.
I think that's what made him a rich man, honestly. Like
his dedication to nightgowns.
Put everything else aside. Success comes in the form of a nightgown and a little candle.
Yeah, and a nightcap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sure.
Yeah, and I don't think any reasonable
I think Charles
person,
Dickens meant that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
He made the moral of his story in the first two pages.
Yeah. He reminded you a couple times, but, you know, that's... He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, sure. All that to say, essentially, Tiny Tim could have just worn... A nightgown and been fine.
Yeah, he would have survived.
Yeah,
honestly, it probably would have fixed a lot of things.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was annoying. Subtext.
Well, I just want to say real quick.
Yeah.
Thank you for everyone for tuning in again. If this is if you're a repeat listener,
yeah, welcome.
If you're a
new listener, welcome. This is our first episode after FanX.
Yeah.
But we're recording before.
Right.
So hello again from the past.
Right. Hey. And if you are...
Did we do good?
If you're new because of the podcast or the FanX or whatever,
our panel.
Welcome. We are just a bunch of gravy-brained individuals who can only consume. We only know consumption.
If this, if this podcast... has any success.
Content is just based on other content.
Yeah.
Right. If this podcast has any success, it's only because we are so far stupid on the other way that you have to listen.
Yeah. Did you hear that? We are so far stupid on the other way.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. That's another thing.
I understood what you were saying,
right,
though.
Like, you did actually lose me.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, it's a spectrum.
No. I don't want it.
But actually.
Speaking of spectrums.
Wait.
We are happy to have Comic-Con was
you
great.
Here. Today we are talking about Pokemon. Specifically, we're talking about the different generations of Pokemon. More specifically, we are ranking the different generations of Pokemon.
Heck yeah.
Pokemon for kind of the world is a really big deal. It's like the biggest franchise. Single franchise in the world. Like Disney is its own thing that has so many big things, but I do actually think like Pokemon is the biggest franchise.
Like financially, like monetarily?
On, yeah, like value.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
Which, you know what's funny? Like,
wait, you're saying
that, but I do think like it's the most valuable single thing, right?
Okay.
Because I don't know what would be.
You're saying that in like a documented, like this is. Like fact, not necessarily your opinion, like what?
Right, no, I do think that it's actually like literal.
Okay, got it.
Don't quote me on it really, but I feel like I heard it somewhere.
Okay.
Or perhaps it's like
no,
the
that's
large.
Fair. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Pokemon is the biggest franchise. And you know what the big thing about this is? Because my brother and sister-in-law just came back from Asia. And it's like... It's not just a video game. It's not just a kid's thing. They're like so embedded in their culture that like you walk around the city, you walk like cities, like their taxis, their restaurants, their grocery stores, every facet of life is touched by Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like even way more than Disney is in America.
Right. Well, yeah, it's huge and it's been huge since it started. And that's something I want to point out. I mean, we are all old enough to have played the first generation of games. We are like the oldest Pokemon fans. And we were also old enough to like Generation 2 when it came out. Maybe Generation 3. Things started getting fuzzy at 4, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like just depending on whether or not you kept up with it. And in those days, there was some kind of online buzz and dispute between like, you know, they had a name like Gen 1ers. Like, are you that group who like only likes Gen 1?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you see merit in this or in that? And I think I don't see that anymore. And I think the reason for that is Pokemon has released stuff so consistently. There's never been a real gap in eras. It was just we were the oldest, so we had it first. And then it started getting new and weird and we started growing up. But then the youngest kids, you know, the kids who were out of it, were starting with Generation 4, then 5, and continuing up. Mm-hmm. And then the next kids were going and continuing. And it's just been so relevant and so such a fixture that I think it's kind of elevated past that kind of discussion that you see in Star Wars so much, where it's like, well, yeah, you've got 30 years between the first chunk and the second chunk. So you're going to be so embedded in that and holding on to that so tightly, but you can't with Pokemon anymore. Cause like, what are you comparing it to? You're either, there could be an argument for someone who just likes Generation 1, but you can't like stop being okay with, cause it's just been what it is that whole time.
Yeah.
You know,
completely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That said, we are going to rank these.
Right. But it's interesting. Cause as I was like preparing for this episode, there is a total, there's like a total disparity between Gen 1 people and the rest of the Pokemon community. I feel like that's what I, as I've gone through like subreddits and especially within the video game specifically, you know, like there's more to that. There's more to ranking than just the games, but, people have a lot of feelings about Gen 1. I think it's because people think of Gen 1 as like, I'd say like the majority of people hold it on such a high pedestal that like true Pokemon people look at it through a different lens as they play more Pokemon games. So it's been interesting to see how it's viewed.
I think I found kind of an issue where when ranking, I didn't want to show my age too much.
Right.
I tried not to. Yeah. And I was really trying to be unbiased or, you know, too nostalgia struck.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. But it is kind of hard to avoid that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't avoid it very well.
Right. Right. Let's no. and there, I mean, you'll see. And I wonder how this will reflect, you know, as time goes on.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to keep making it. Things are going to keep coming out. Like, how is this going to look to these younger generations who have so much to consume from day one?
Totally.
Right? I mean, I don't know. We'll get into it. Quick disclaimer, though. I mean, we've all been fans for a long time, right? There are games we have missed. There are generations we paid less attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But circle back a few times, obviously. I would say probably I've had the most involvement kind of throughout. I think I've played the most generations. And then now, having kids who are old enough to appreciate it, I'm really back in it. Mm. But we have all, like, we've missed some stuff. And so I did try my research to make up for that. And I tried to be objective still. But it was hard when I actually made my ranking to see, like, I wonder what someone who started on Gen 5 would have to say about this.
Dude, that's what I ran into the most. Like, people, especially, like, lengthy forum posts, the number one response as they're ranking and they get to the bottom of their list is, you know, it's the one that I played first. It's the one that I did ran into first as the first Pokemon. And so I'm like, it's so inescapable.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but
it's really tough. We'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, let's get into it.
I want to go around. I want to start last and I want to each say it and we can give some reasons for it. Also,
let's start with the last one.
Yeah. Okay. You're number 9. And we're gonna name it by region, right? Because saying first is fourth and ninth is eighth or whatever it is, like, that's going to get weird. So we'll say what it is. We'll still say what number of generation it is.
Okay.
Also, I'm excluding Hisuian because it's not its own generation. I don't know how much you guys
are you talking into that. Arceus?
Yeah, Legends Arceus. Okay. Yeah, but...
That wasn't honorable, included.
Quick shout out to the Hisuian stuff.
Great game.
Some really cool variants there.
Awesome
game. And some really cool stuff in there. My number 9 was the Galar region.
Ooh.
Generation 8.
Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm curious, and I'll give a little disclaimer in a second. For me, it has the worst starters of the 9 generations. I think Grookey had a ton of promise.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of my favorite first. When I say worst starters, I mean where they ended up. Yeah. Because that's what I really judge them off of.
Totally, their whole...
It'd be different for the first ones. That's what we see the most still. You know, and I love Grookey. Mm-hmm. And I was upset. I don't think he lived up to his promise. If I had to pick one, he would be the one I picked.
Yeah.
Don't like where Scorbunny ended up. Mm-mm. Really don't like where Sobble ended up.
Totally.
I think, for me, Galar has the worst gimmick. And by that, I mean, and gimmicks were introduced later, so it's kind of hard to hold this against it.
Right.
But I don't like the Dynamax Gigantamax thing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The regional variants are decent. I actually like the Galarian Meowth. I like Berserker a lot. That's just a specific shout out. One of its biggest redemptions for me, like, because everything has something good in it.
Yeah.
Dragapult is a sick pseudo legendary. I think that's a really, really cool Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think they nailed it. I think the legendaries were not good at first. I think the expansion added some good stuff.
Yeah. Expanding upon that, Dragapult, I think, has become probably, like, in my top 5 favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Incredible. Yeah. I would agree on Dynamaxing that it's purely spectacle, doesn't really add anything other than it's cinematic.
I was going to mention the same thing about the Dynamax and Gigamax.
Right, yeah. Sure. But the legendaries on Galar are really cool. I personally
think... Like the wolf the dogs. Dog thing?
Yeah.
Oh, sort of, see, I don't like them at all.
I like them a lot. But I agree that it's probably the worst starters out of any gen.
Yeah.
But...
My number 9 is also Gen 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if for similar reasons that you're noting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And part of it is just, I don't like the Pokemon that much. I think they're kind of goofy and weird.
Right.
And I think that was a big thing for me.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I predicted that Jaren wasn't going to have it last.
Yeah.
Because Sword and Shield is one of the ones you have actually played.
Yeah. I've played 4 different games, I think. And... I had a good time, so it's definitely not my last.
Yeah.
My last is, this is going to probably make some people mad. Generation 5 was my last.
Oh.
And
Unova.
Unova. The kind of New York-based one. I think it's black and white.
It's black and white.
Uh-huh.
And black 2 and white 2.
Yep. I think Gen 5, for me... The gimmick that it added was the most unoriginal. It was going from double battles to triple battles. That was the primary gimmick.
Mm.
But the thing that I think frustrated me most is the new Pokemon that they added. So, so terrible.
Mm.
This is when you get, you start getting household items
that become Pokemon. I'm going to call that out really quick.
Okay.
Because I don't like the household items.
Yeah.
But... We've had Magnemite since Gen 1.
I agree. But leaning into that in like a really, really overt way because it's New York. That's where you have like I have the list.
Is that the Gears?
Yeah, that's where you have Clink and Clang. And then that's when you have Vanillish, the ice cream
really
Pokemon.
Don't like that. Really, really
and then that's when you start to get the like Litwick and Lampent, and it's like the chandelier.
And which I think are actually pretty cool Pokemon. They've grown on me, but I don't like that they are...
Right. And there. Then on top of that, that's where you start to have like Timber and Girder, and you have like these... Yeah. I really dislike that.
Yeah.
So for me, this is where... And I know that Gen 5 is where... It was kind of like a refresh on the series. It's where they took it to a different place. And so I can recognize that gameplay, it was pretty inventive, and they did some different things with the way that a Pokemon game was... approached, but the starters are weak. That's like Snivy and
Tepig and Oshawott.
I hate those. Really, really, just like lukewarm, vague starters.
Is it Snivy? Because like Ivy.
Oh, maybe you're right. I thought it was Snivy.
I mean, it's also like the only Black and White are the only games to have like or to be sequels. Like that's pretty
right into Black 2 and White 2, which is yeah.
Yeah, like that's...
But everything that I read basically said that this was it's the most divisive Pokemon game. People that love it are like, there's nothing better. People that hate it are like, this is a betrayal of Pokemon. And I unfortunately fall in the camp of this feels like they tried something and it was totally a faceplant.
Yeah. See, I'll move into my 8 because that's, you know, it was my 8.
Okay.
5th gen is my 8. Funny enough, like... I think people hate on Tepig and Emboar, and people give good reason. They said it's the third generation in a row that the fire starter was firefighting, so they were sick of it by then.
Yeah,
he's actually the one I would pick of those. I don't like Snivy Snivy that much. I love Oshawott. I don't like Samurott. I think that that's a weird direction to take the cute otter. I don't think it lived up to its promise. It's in my 8. I think they have names for them. The Swords of Justice.
Yeah.
Those legendaries, I think they're lame.
Hmm.
The Forces of Nature, the genie ones, Thunderous, I think they're lame.
Very lame.
What I've heard about it, this is one I haven't played. What I've heard about it is that the story is really good.
That's what I've heard as well. It's got a really good
story. They really love, like, the bad team.
Mm-hmm.
They love the antagonist. And what happens in the story. And so I want to be able to call that out. Other legendaries are fine.
Yeah.
But I do think this is one of the weaker sets of starters for sure. That's why it's in my 8.
It's funny that we're starting off so similar because it was also my 8.
Yeah.
And it's going back to what Jaren said. I also just don't like the Pokemon. I think they're goofy. Yeah. I don't like the weird items.
Completely.
And I don't know. I didn't play this one, so yeah. I'm going strictly off vibes.
Yeah.
So.
Which is, I mean, well, I'm prepared to own up that I could definitely like it more if I played it.
Yeah. Totally.
I'll give it back.
I look at things that I'm like, looking at the chunk of Pokemon,
yeah.
It's easy to form an opinion on the starters anyway.
Totally. Once again, I really like Tepig. It got a sequel, so they had a story that they wanted to tell,
right.
And it took two games to tell it. So, right. I don't know.
Kyurem's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's your 8, Jer?
My 8 is Gen 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Kalos.
Yeah. Kalos, which is X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that Gen 6, again, the starters are they're okay. They're not bad. I really like Fennekin and I really like Froakie. Chespin is whatever to me.
Yeah.
I
think Chespin is, at least like fan sentiment wise, the least popular starter.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think so.
I like one of the legendaries a lot, which is Xerneas.
I think Xerneas is really cool. I actually like both of them. I like Veltal too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I appreciate that the gimmick, the thing that the add-ons here are the Mega Evolutions, which I think actually did a lot for Pokemon. So I'll give Gen 6... that.
Mm-hmm.
And they also added the fairy type,
yeah.
Which helped it balance out the dragons, which I thought was really cool, and it opened up the door for future things to work well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just thought that the region felt, and it's hard because I'm looking at this in retrospect, so I'm looking at Galar and I'm looking at Paldea, and for me it felt, the region felt lame and uninspired, and the Pokemon were not very memorable.
7.
I'll start off.
Yeah,
start. At 7. So for 7, I actually chose Gen 6. And the reason I chose Gen 6 is I feel like the roster is really underwhelming.
It's teeny.
It's the smallest roster.
Yeah.
And I feel like they tried to make up with it, or make up for it with the gimmick. Like, it feels like, I don't know, like they knew that they had a small roster, and so they introduced this new element, you know, this gimmick, to kind of make up for that.
Right.
And so that's
why. And they included a lot of past gen Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, even outside the Mega, like they did. Yeah. Just, for better or worse, they kind of filled it with a lot of other.
It just feels weak.
Is all. Totally. I mean, like Honed Edge, Klefki, these are just not great.
What's your 7, Jared?
My 7 is Scarlet and Violet.
Paldea,
which is kind of inspired by like Spain,
Gen 9,
Portugal. It's the newest gen. I don't like it because, and this more goes into like the technical side of things, is it was so buggy when they released
it. You didn't play it.
I played a little bit of it.
You heard people complaining about it. When you actually played it, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I agree. I didn't play it when it was buggy, but upon release, people are saying that it was unplayable.
Yeah, people were haters.
Yeah, people are haters. But I, for me, it when I look at it, I guess it felt too similar to Galar in, like, again, just the regional European thing. And the gimmick didn't really strike me as super special. The terrestrialization, where you make him like gem things and it can make him do different stuff, didn't feel very compelling to me.
My 7 was actually Alola.
Oh.
And that's one that I did play.
So 7 is 7.
Yep. And I liked it. And this is the thing. I like a lot of these anyway.
Yeah.
I liked it. I Rowlet, Litten, Popplio are pretty good starters.
Yeah,
Rowlet is actually one of my favorite all-time starters.
Yeah.
He himself is top 3 cutest.
I did Litten.
I would say. Great. And people love...
I love Litten. He's cute.
Incineroar.
Yeah.
And Decidueye, I think, is really cool.
Decidueye is one of the coolest final forms
really,
of a starter.
Really, really cool.
Easily.
The setting is great. Like, it's fun to be in the islands. It's fun to see how they did that, what their interpretation was. their gimmick, the Z moves.
Oh.
It's kind of middling for me. Playing it, I was like, yeah, this is a little too strong. Like, it's, I'm taking, if especially if it's super effective, like,
yeah.
I'm taking a super effective movie and just making it that much better when I use it. Like, it, these things don't stand a chance. Mm. And that was an issue for me, is that it felt really easy.
Yeah.
I didn't struggle. I mean, and I know how to raise a Pokemon team at this point.
Yeah.
Right? So it might just be like, I took my time to train, but I don't even think it was that. I didn't struggle. Literally, I didn't struggle until I played the champion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, actually, that it was very easy.
Yeah, they hold your hand for a long time at the beginning.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, it takes a long time to get started, and then it's just kind of, okay, well, I'm just going through and doing this thing, and it was a little bit monotonous at some points.
The other thing that I forgot to mention about Gen 9 that I think was a common sentiment is that it didn't feel like... I feel like OG fans are waiting for the next push into new territory with Pokemon. And Arceus was kind of that. But they were kind of waiting for something big, for something more, for something that's this big, the biggest franchise ever, to do something more than this simple thing. And I get, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it just felt like more of the same, especially more
of
the same from Sword and Shield into this.
Mm.
Didn't seem different enough.
But with Alola, the legendaries are fine. Guardian deities are fine. I think Lunala is cool. This is also the introduced the first regional variants.
Yeah.
Which I like that they did that. Huge. It made a lot of sense.
So cool.
That is cool.
And the ones they did were pretty cool. Like Alolan Vulpix and Ninetales are ice type. Like, they made some of them just opposite, which is fun. Some were offensive and horrible to me. The Meowth and Persian are some of the most hideous things I've ever seen.
Mm.
You've seen that, right? The Persian with like the big head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so ugly.
It's awful. but then I will... Oh, Ultra Beasts are kind of weird, too.
Hmm.
It's weird that they're, like, kind of legendary, but they're, like, aliens also.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like a portal weird thing.
Felt confusing.
I will say, however, it has one of my top 10 Pokemon, probably Mudsdale.
Oh, big old horse.
I love Mudsdale so much, so I do need to give it its props.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's my 7.
Who wants to start off with 6?
Well, I'll jump into 6 because it's
Alola.
Mm-hmm. And the thing I think that bumps 7 up higher is the region is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Alola's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's totally distinct. It felt like something totally unique and fun and just exciting to be in like a Hawaiian type environment, which is neat. And it also has one of my favorite Pokemon. You know, the rest of the Pokemon weren't super engaging for me, but Passimian is like
awesome.
One of them, like, because
and Oranguru, I would say its alternate is really cool too.
So cool, both amazing.
Yeah,
but the rest kind of felt to me middling, not bad, but just middling.
I'll say I actually like Oricorio as well, the bird that its form and type changes depending on like the little dance thing it does. So it's like got a color and like the 4 different types. I thought that was really fun too.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
My 6 is Gen 6, Kalos.
Okay.
And I agree with your issues with it, too. Like, it is a really small offering. Like, they didn't give us a lot of new stuff, which is frustrating when you hear about a new gen and you're like, wait, there's only like 100 of these.
Yeah.
Right.
Or whatever it was. Again, I think the starters are kind of meh.
Yeah.
Not in general. Greninja is a total fan favorite. I think he's probably again, sentiment wise, I think he's top 3. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, he's
really cool. So he would be who I would pick.
Totally.
But Chespin's weak. Fennekin is, I don't think it lived up to it as far as like a fire wizard
thing
goes.
Cool concept.
I think Kalos has the best gimmick with Megas.
Yeah,
and I was really resistant to it when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of my Gen 1-ing showing through, I think.
Yeah.
Just being resistant to change. But looking back, I'm like, no, it's pretty cool compared to, again, the other stuff we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's too obtrusive. I don't think it gets in the way too much, which is, again, why I like the Z moves in Alola.
Mm.
Like, even though they were weird and a little OP, and they made the game that much easier, it wasn't like messing with the Pokemon themselves.
Right.
Which is what I didn't like about Megas. I'm like, wait, so it's the same thing, but just more, but like not a technical evolution. Right, yeah. That was tough and weird for me.
Yeah.
But I do think, looking back, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do like both Xerneas and Yveltal.
Yeah.
I think the fairy type introduction was cool.
Totally.
I think it fit in well. And then as far as that pseudo goes, I really like the pseudo from this region. That's Goodra.
Because
we've been getting tough dragon hard things, spooky, scary, whatever, intense. And this is just some kind of goofy snail dragon gooey thing, which I was tempted to be repulsed by initially. But it's really grown on me for sure.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. Jay, what's your six?
So for my six, and it actually kind of pains me to put it here. So I put Gen 9. And part of that is because I didn't play the game. And so it is kind of going off vibes alone. But those vibes are good, which is why it pains me to put it kind of a little lower on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is because I think it's got one of the coolest, Pokemon rosters, like, ever. I think, like, it looks really cool. All the Pokemon seem really cool. Shout out Quaxly, so cool.
Quaxly is awesome.
What a cute little guy.
Which is so frustrating, because Quaxly could, I feel like later evolutions could have been so cool.
Yeah.
And it felt like a total letdown. Yeah. Same with Sprigatito. Sprigatito is so...
Sprigatito.
Is
there another TI in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cute.
Because it's Gatito. Which is...
Gatito. Kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. It is vibes. I didn't play it. But I really like the Pokemon roster.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Jerry, what's your six? You said it.
Seven.
Yeah. Five. We're on five now.
Yeah, five.
Okay, I'll move from that. My five is Paldea, Gen 9.
Gen 9.
I really loved it. I wasn't expecting to, so I didn't buy it right away. I had enough friends who got it, who were OG fans, who got it and were like, no, this is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to look past bugs. I'm like, it's like, what are you playing it for frame rates?
Right.
And sure, we should hold a modern game to like a standard.
I think we should hold the biggest franchise to a high standard.
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
They could have given us better textures, better environments,
right.
a more smooth experience.
Right.
Nothing like what you saw in YouTube clips, though, happened in my game. Like, like people were showing ridiculous clipping and stuff like that.
Right.
I didn't have any of that. And what they did give, I thought the starters were pretty weak. I thought they had so much promise.
So much.
I was like, oh, okay, Fuecoco, whatever it is, it's going to be sick.
It's going to be
Quaxly, whatever it is, it's going to be sick. I didn't like either of them.
Of all final
they were the most disappointing to me. And so I was like, okay, I'll choose the cat, I guess, and maybe I'll just abandon it, which is the first game I ever considered that with.
Yeah.
And it did grow on me. I actually liked Meowscarada. I liked the final. It had great moves and abilities and stuff.
I just hate the design.
So it ended up being fine.
Yeah.
That gimmick, Terastallization, I think it's a good gimmick.
Hmm.
I think the changing type is cool, that you can assign it a new type. I think the execution was bad. I don't like that they got the big head icon weirdness. It totally takes me out of it.
Yeah,
for
it's
that.
Distracting.
It's weird that, like, okay, what's this, like, huge logo on your head? That was tough for me. I think the open world traversal on your vehicle is fun.
Did you, when you say vehicle, do you mean the legendary?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate those legendaries, man.
Yeah. I kind of had to look past it being like an actual legendary. Yeah. I'm like, this is just,
it's just a vehicle.
New thing instead of an agent.
Literally.
Yeah. I wanted something that really stood out to me as I was playing. It was like just the quality of life improvements. Pokemon centers are open air. So you walk right up to someone at a kiosk and heal your Pokemon immediately. It's little things. And the person next to the Pokemon Center is the person who can sell you stuff.
Right.
And next to that is somewhere where you can like trade in resources for TMs to teach your Pokemon moves. Another quality of life improvement. You can teach your Pokemon, reteach them any move they've forgotten.
Yeah, it's not gone.
That's
so you
cool.
kind of catch that up. You just have the ability to do that. So it's super forgiving in that regard. You can... I mean, even like pausing and saving, it's like a separate button. You don't have to scroll all the way down to save. You just pause and hit R and it saves for you. Like, it was little things like that. And I was like, whoa, they made this a lot smoother. Like, going back to play a Pokemon game, I'm like, oh, it's kind of clunky to hit it this many times. Totally. So that was like, I was like, okay, they are paying attention to detail here. And they like made a bold step for the franchise. To me, like that felt big to be like, okay, we're going to change like something you took for granted.
We're going to change interface. Feel better.
Yes.
And the region seems cool. Once again, the region seems really cool.
The region is cool. I like the regional variants that they introduced. I liked the additional Pokemon that were similar, but not technically a regional variant.
Yeah.
Like Tentacruel and Tentacool, right?
Toadscruel,
which is not a regional variant. It's a different type entirely.
Yeah.
And it's goofy and it walks around on its legs and it's like a grass poison type.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The additional Pokemon they made were great. I think it was like a really good addition with the stuff they added. The stuff they added to, like, built on from previous generations, Annihilape is sweet.
Oh, Annihilape is one of the coolest freaking variations.
Really, ever. Really cool. Dunsparce is so funny. Like, this dumb little Pokemon, Dunsparce. They just added a second section of him and made it Dunsparce.
Yeah.
That's great. And I think the other gimmick, that's not really a gimmick, but, like, the time variance, the past and future variance. I think a lot of them are really cool and really well done. Some are totally lame, but I think it's great.
Interesting.
And I think the soundtrack was really good. So I mean, even though I've put it at 5, which feels middling, like I have a lot of good things to say about it. I had a really good time with the game.
Yeah. Mine was Sword and Shield. this is totally my own personal journey with Pokemon. For me, it was Sword and Shield was the perfect re-entry point. It feels kind of like the most dumbed down Pokemon game in a lot of ways. But it still had so much of what made Pokemon great without losing too much of it. So I really like Galar. I really like the roster of Pokemon. I like that they leaned into this sort of UK angle with like Sirfetch'd and Yamper, like the corgi. I really like the Pokemon roster here. It was just totally hit me right where I live. I loved the different things they did, obviously Dragapult, and I found the different regions dynamic enough. It didn't feel boring. I totally get what you're saying, that it was like the last straw where like, hey, like, why are we still having to go through all these annoying interface things? But for someone who hadn't played Pokemon in a while, I was like, oh, this feels familiar.
Yeah.
in a and bad.
That was never a complaint of mine. I liked that 9 changed that. That it was like, oh, I didn't even notice that like
was an issue.
Was a lot.
That's fair.
To go in and do this and hit these buttons.
Right. Yeah, I just liked the vibe. I loved the Pokemon, and it was a perfect way to get back into the games.
Mm.
It was fun to realize, you know, playing on handheld devices, how much you appreciate, like, this more fun 3D updated 2020, whatever, 2020's vibe.
Oh, really quick, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I will have more to say about my 5th spot than some of the others above it, because I have played it and it's the most recent.
Yeah.
Also, really cool that the Pokemon are all out and about.
Yeah.
And that the catching experience is super seamless. This is the first game I've played where I was like, oh, I think I'm going to catch them all.
Yeah.
Literally. That's interesting. It always felt like such a monumental task to be like, okay, I know this is in this route. I'm going to walk through these bushes and keep running and stuff like that. Like, they make it really easy to run, really easy to just beat them quick.
Disengage.
You can send your own Pokemon out like without engaging in a battle to just beat the Pokemon in front of you.
Yeah.
And like, this was the first time where I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to go for it.
Because it's so manageable.
Because it's just there. It's all in front of you. And that made it feel a lot more real.
That's too. A good point.
Because I'm like, in some games, even when I was young, I was like, okay, I know this is tall grass, but there's like, there's not a Graveler there that I can't see.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Totally. What do you think, Jay?
What's your 5?
My 5, ooh, get closer to the mic. My 5 is Gen 7. Now, I like Gen 7. I like the you know, fake Hawaii the island that we're on. Right. I think the Pokemon are fun.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned a few of those. And the gimmicks, like the Z-moves, Mega Evolutions, Ultra Beasts, it's kind of fun. You know, like a lot of different variety and additions that they added. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Pokemon are pretty fun.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a lot that I like more in other stuff. So that's why it's at 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. We're moving into the top half. And this is where some of our... I mean, there's a lot we haven't said already. And... I mean, our top four is all the first four gems.
Yeah, that's so interesting. That's all for all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
curious to see where we put this.
I think there's multiple reasons for that. It's not just that we're old heads.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my four, and this actually breaks my heart.
Oh, no.
And I need to apologize to young me. Because Johto is my four. Gen 2.
Oh, what? That's so
weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
Me too.
And weird. I'm sad thinking. Like, yeah, I'm almost emotional thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because that was my first Pokemon game. Crystal was my first game. Feraligatr is one of my all-time favorite Pokemon. Mm. Umbreon is one of my all-time favorite Pokemon. Yeah. I think they have the best legendary roster with the birds and the dogs. I felt like it was the perfect follow-up to Gen 1. It's an extension of Gen 1. So many of those Pokemon were supposed to be in Gen 1, and they just made it the next thing. I think it's incredible that you could go, after you beat all the gyms, that you go to Kanto.
Yeah.
And you get to beat all of those gyms. And you fight Red in Silver Cave afterward. It's astounding. I had a level 100 for Feraligatr that I could beat the entire Elite Four with. I didn't have to use a single other Pokemon because it was my first game and I didn't know how to make a team. So I just had my Feraligatr who just did
maxed
his thing.
Him out.
Just Hydro Pumped and bit and waterfalled his way through.
Here's the thing. I'm with you.
It's an astounding generation, and I think on a different day, I would put it higher.
That's so funny.
Number two is my number four.
Yeah.
Because all the reasons you said, it's an incredible, again,
like, I don't have a bad thing to say about
it. No, I don't. These top four slots for me are all like millimeters apart.
Yes.
So
yeah,
my problem, if I could really have a problem with Gen 2, is that it was too much of a continuation of the first game without moving things in a new direction. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think that it feels like a DLC expansion of what they already did so well. But I think the fact that it didn't do enough new is what holds it back for me, even though I think it has some of the greatest starters of any game, easily. Yeah. Like, I always have a hard time picking.
Yeah, Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Unreal.
For me, it's an easy Totodile, but I like the others.
Right.
No. And people actually hate on Chikorita. I'm surprised that you actually said that the whole roster is one of the most popular.
Chikorita's my go-to.
That's funny, because I think a lot of people dislike Cyndaquil, Chikorita.
So
I love that we're at the three.
But
I love it.
But and Ho-Oh, and like, just such good legendaries.
Yeah.
Lugia
is...
Lugia's classic.
The dogs.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I love it.
But
this is actually like blowing my mind.
It's just,
and I, you guys chose four.
It's insane.
You'll see why when I,
But also, the other thing that holds it back is Johto not being a cool enough of a region. Going from Kanto to Johto, again, just kind of
similar.
A one tick of the dial rather than something else new.
Yeah.
And I get why they couldn't, but it still holds it just a little bit back for me.
I'll say also that I think it's widely regarded as the best remake with Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Mm.
It's so good.
And then I will say iconic pseudo legendary with Tyranitar.
Oh, so cool.
Really cool. Yeah. I had to kind of mention pseudos throughout. He's stellar.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Jason, Jay.
So my number four is actually Gen 4. So Gen 4 has such cool Pokemon.
Like, really cool.
You're talking freaking Chimchar, Piplup. I love Piplup so much.
Yeah.
Me too.
Turtwig.
Yeah, the starters.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
I think that Gen 4 has just some of the coolest Pokemon. I really love them. In those games, freaking Diamond and Pearl, you got to go online and do online battles. That's like the first time you were able to do that, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, lots of love to 4. Sorry I put you at 4, but I do love it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Jay, give us your 3.
3 is... Okay, this is actually funny, because I actually considered putting this at 1, but it ended up at 3.
Whoa. How funny.
How funny is that?
That is funny.
But it's Gen 3.
Okay, yeah.
Gen 3 has... It could be argued one of the best games, like, yep, if not the best game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Ruby and Sapphire, great. Fantastic. A really solid list of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And that's
Emerald is an all-timer, I think.
Oh, Emerald is... Emerald's probably better than Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Just a solid game, solid Pokemon. That's why I was almost considering it for 1, for just how solid it is in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I had to make, you know, a concession. I had to put it at 3. Because of where my Gen 2 and Gen 1 end up and my feelings towards those.
Right.
Completely. So, one thing I do want to note, which actually just is another knife in the back of Gen 2, why it was so amazing. Dark and Steel types introduced.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. Time of day, Pokemon catching Pokemon at a different time of day was introduced. And 3, you can let your Pokemon hold things to evolve in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty intensely cool.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
Yeah.
That we put it right there.
Yeah.
And another thing about Gen 3 is, like, it feels to me like the most significant step up. Like, it feels like a very major step up from the other games. Yeah. From Gen 1
and Gen 2. I mean, that's Game Boy to Game Boy Advance also.
It's
only Game Boy Advance generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his 3 is 3.
His 3 is 3. My 3 is 3.
Oh.
And I really struggled with this also, with where these actually fell.
Yeah.
My 3 is 3. I think this has probably... this is a top 3 starter group for me. Treecko, Torchic, Mudkip.
Mm.
Mudkip. What a freaking...
Holy smokes. Yeah. Water Ground... being immune to electric, one of its main weaknesses.
What an all-star.
Holy smokes. Yeah, Swampert is unreal. I think this Gen 3 is in the running for best soundtrack. Really stellar music. Very distinct from the 2 Game Boy games we've had, which are very 8-bit sounding, 16-bit sounding.
Right.
This introduced horns and some really very, very nostalgic stuff as far as the soundtrack goes. And I think you'll find that is kind of widely appreciated, the soundtrack in Gen 3. Like I said, first Game Boy Advance game, the settings are great. Very distinct from 1 and 2, where they might've been kind of similar and the routes were kind of similar.
Right.
Really cool settings. The legendaries are great from this generation with Groudon, Kyogre, Rayquaza.
Rayquaza's is untouchable.
One of the most popular. And it got a very cool mega evolution.
Oh, yeah.
And then even your other ones, it introduced the giants, which were Registeel, whatever. Which, personally, not my favorite, I think the younger kids did like them a lot and like the other ones, which are really cool. Iconic pseudo-legendaries. And the only game with 2... with Metagross and Salamence. Salamence is an absolute demon to battle against. Metagross is still one of the coolest and highest rated. Very cool pseudo-legendaries. Very well done. Just incredible games. My Emerald game, I was replaying it in high school. I was playing it on a field trip. I don't know what happened after I beat the champion, but it got turned off and deleted my data.
Oh, no.
I lost a whole game.
Devastating.
Yeah, it took me years to come back to it.
My 3... and 2 and 3 for me are almost tied. Because it's 4. Generation 4.
Sinnoh.
And for me, Sinnoh is the coolest region. The Hokkaido, Northern Japan region.
Mm.
So freaking cool. Yeah. And I think Gen 4... as well, it has a lot of really, really awesome stellar Pokemon, like Luxray. It was just totally speaks to me.
Yeah.
And that's where you also get Arceus introduced, which is so cool. Right. Such an amazing legendary. I don't really have much to say negative about it.
Yeah.
It's like 2 and 3 are pretty much tied, but I give 3 my, or I give the 2 spot. Should I just jump into it?
Yeah, jump into it.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, it's just, it felt like the best step you could, the best next step to go. I feel like it's what, Pokemon, it's like the step that changed the direction of Pokemon forever.
Mm-hmm.
They amped up gameplay. They made, like, they took Pokemon in a new direction. And I get that Gen 1 and Gen 2 have, are not like safe, but they're a little more straightforward. 3, they started to introduce some interesting things. And I mean, Gen 3, I think, has maybe the best starters ever with Mudkip and, you know, so again, can't say much negative. It's just so cool. And I feel like it took the whole series up a step, that gap from 2 to 3 is so intensely important and cool.
3 was where I first noticed the kind of rift in generations. That's when I started to be are we sure about still doing this? Like, we're going to keep adding Pokemon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I wasn't even old by any stretch of the imagination, but I was like, okay, 3 is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it took me time. I didn't play that until middle school or high school, not when it came out.
I have something to comment on that, but I'll save it for later because I think it's important. So
okay, I'll try to remind you,
because Gen 3 is Hoenn, and other thing I forgot to mention is the introduction of double battles, which is huge.
Yeah, double battles.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe really the most important like gimmick that,
right,
in my opinion, that's ever been added to Pokemon, is double battles.
Yeah,
because that's been carried through forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's a competitive format.
Yeah.
Two.
Correct.
All right, Jay, what's your 2?
My number 2 spot goes to Gen 1. And
wow.
Gen 1, because... So it does have the best Pokemon roster as the most iconic Pokemon of all time.
Right.
Like, they will never go away. Like, you'll always exclusively see Pokemon from Generation 1 all throughout the stores, like plushies, no matter what. You're not going to see plushies from Gen 6 or 7 or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's always going to be Charmander and Pikachu. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, most iconic, best Pokemon. However, the games themselves, as important as they are, and it's all where it started, in comparison, the games have only gotten better since.
Right.
Yeah.
At the time, like, it's unbalanced as far as, like, the Pokemon go. Like, some are just way stronger than others.
Right.
You know, some, like, just little bugs and stuff like that. Like, it's an old game, okay?
Totally, it's very flawed.
If you were to play it today, it would feel like an old game.
Yeah.
Right.
But that being said, Generation 1 is... It's the best.
You know, I
love it, but it goes number 2 for me.
Sure. Yeah. It's also my number 2.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the original. The reason there's Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's Pikachu is one of the most widely recognized icons in the world.
Yeah.
The other argument, I mean, you mentioned 3 obvious argument for best starters.
Yeah.
Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle, like literally iconic. Still some of my favorite Pokemon. Like, across all the generations, partially nostalgia, but even when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, like, that's like
a great,
pure thing. I love Snorlax. Tauros is my favorite Pokemon, which, like, even looking back, I'm like, it's a bull with 2 tails and a buffalo kind of shoulders thing.
Yeah.
It's, I love Tauros.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled that it took them this long to do anything with him. I was so worried he was going to get a Mega Evolution. I was so worried he was going to get a Dynamax, Gigantamax. Like, I was worried they were going to make him too gimmicky, and then he just got regional variants in Gen 9. Like, I was thrilled that that was it.
Which is awesome.
And that they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, even then, like, I agree with what you're saying about the games. Like, they're old Game Boy games.
Yeah.
Game Boy Color. Yellow is amazing because you got a Pikachu following you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, that was a huge deal at the time.
Their remix, Leaf Green, is probably one of my top games.
ever
for them. I love Leaf Green.
Oh, yeah.
Classic legendaries, obviously.
Yeah.
Mewtwo's a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, the three birds, the birds are
a big
deal. The birds are a big deal.
And like, perfect. Like, that was when, at least as a young fan, I'm sure others feel differently about this, at least as a young fan, like, that was where it felt most tied to the media also.
Yeah.
To the TV show and
movies.
Yeah.
You were like, living it in real time.
Pokemon the first movie is like, it was a really big deal. Yeah.
When I watched the TV show, it was Gen 1, you know, and obviously I grew up, and so I didn't, you know, I kind of fell out, but, it, you know, the TV show was important as a kid.
Yeah, and Ash, as, I mean, being introduced to him in Gen 1, I didn't realize this until I came back and watched, again, with my kids now,
because
I wanted to show them the first thing first, just to establish a base.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, like, Ash is a very different protagonist than a lot of things we see, and I mean he stayed Ash throughout every generation, so this doesn't belong to Gen 1, but something I love about him is like his thing is just that he loves Pokemon. Like he's a bad trainer. We always expected him to win so much because he's the main character,
right?
Like he lost a lot. It took him a long time to learn stuff, right, and to get it together, and but like his thing was that he loved Pokemon, and he had this empathy. And like the episode where he's defending Pikachu from all the Spearow, like I watched it with my boys and I was like, oh,
bawling.
What the heck is this lump in my throat? Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like making me emotional. It's like, it's so sweet and well done. And he's like so easy to root for because he's willing to make these sacrifices and stuff. And it's just like, I don't know. It stuck with me as a kid, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then when I watched it again, I was like, wait, no, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, there's you can't really say enough good things about Gen 1.
Yeah.
You're 2.
I already said 2.
You're 2 is 3. Okay. You're 1 then.
My number 1 is Gen 2.
Yeah.
Now, I
don't disagree with you either. I just got to say it. Okay. Even I put it at 4.
I know you guys put it a lot lower, but I put Gen 2 as my number 1 spot for a few reasons. It was an improvement from the first games.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a super significant one, but an important one. It had an incredible list of Pokemon that was seamless with Gen 1.
Exactly.
Like, so seamless, in fact, that you can easily confuse Gen 2 Pokemon for Gen 1 Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like you mentioned earlier, with Gen 3, it did feel like there was a bit of a rift. Like, it felt like there was a difference. And I think, I don't know. I think that, like, the seamless transition between 1 and 2 is impressive. It made it feel important. I think one of the most important things Gen 2 did was it solidified Pokemon in its place in history, I think. Because you had Gen 1, which was a phenomenon, right? It was amazing. But Gen 2 made it kind of cement its place in history and say, no, we're not just a fad.
Right.
We are truly going to endure. You know? And that's what Gen 2 did for the franchise, I think.
So I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention, but like, really good moments in Gen 2. The Red Gyarados at the Lake of Rage.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you could just catch a shiny that was baked into the game. Very cool.
Yeah.
And an iconic champion with Lance.
Yeah.
Right.
What's your 1, Jer?
My 1 is 1. Yep. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but for me, this is where I stop, and this is maybe a fault, but I stop thinking about Gen 1 in the context of, like, Pokemon Generations, and I start thinking about it in like cultural impact, and I start thinking about it as a genre piece, and I start thinking about it as a video game and as a like as this distinct unique thing in the world of storytelling, and there's nothing like it. I mean, like Jason said, like you can go 9 games deep, but the seeds were sown there, and you can't. Like, for me, it just, like, it doesn't get almost better. It can't get better, because that is the whole thing. The whole thing is Gen 1, and it's just good iterations of that. But Gen 1 is so, like, rooted
It's just addition. Everything else is an addition.
Right. Everything else is an improvement, not a directional change.
It's the blueprint and the pinnacle.
It's the foundation. And
it continues in almost every game.
Right. Correct. I mean, and like, the other thing is I genuinely feel that it has some of the most unique Pokemon designs, which is cool. I mean, it's not like they're like, okay, we took all the animals, good luck. You know, you still have cool Pokemon later on, but like you look at some of the more unique, strange Pokemon like Porygon or whatever, and it's like, whoa, these were so interesting that they weren't iterations of something else. Mm-hmm. These were born out of someone's imagination, whatever. I don't know. Like one is from 3,000 feet or 30,000 feet up. It's so immense that it can't, for me, it can't not be Gen 1.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's the quote that you reminded me of as you're describing that. And it's a quote about Mount Fuji, about J.R.R. Tolkien.
Mm.
Funny enough, that where it's saying, like, Tolkien is to fantasy as Mount Fuji is to a lot of old Japanese artists, where their art was either had Mount Fuji in the background, or it was on Mount Fuji, or it was a deliberate choice to exclude Mount Fuji.
Right.
And someone attributed that and said, that's what fantasy is to Tolkien. You're either doing it as inspired by him, or in direct opposition to what he did, or, you know, including a nod to it or whatever. And Gen 1 is very much that. Like, it's pure because there isn't anything before it that's like it. And it made its own thing.
Yeah.
And
because you look back, it's like, is this sci-fi? What are we, you know?
Yeah.
Because it
well, and two is so seamless into it, because they really, like, it just got to be too much that they kept making. And I think two is so pure because of that, because it's still like, it's that first iteration of creation and of invention. And a lot of what they've done since, which is, I think, the argument against us just being old heads, is that, like, it does get diluted. It takes a lot more for you to make something that compares to the early stuff,
right?
Because you're doing it against so much stuff. Yeah. Like, you have to keep carving a niche. That was one of the reasons I was most worried about Mega Evolutions in Gen 6. I'm like, well, they got to keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's shown that they keep doing stuff, and it's totally hit or miss, and mostly miss for me.
Gotcha.
Your
number one.
Almost like the other iterations, like the other games, the other generations, had to be their own thing. Like, they had to, like, kind of carve their own, like, path in order to feel special or something like that. Whereas Gen 1, Gen 2, I don't know.
They were special for their own sake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My one is Sinnoh. My one is Gen 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons for that. This took a lot of consideration. And like, it was weird for me to do this because it was older for me. I haven't even played all the way through.
Sure. Through Diamond?
Diamond and Pearl.
Diamond and Pearl.
But as I was looking at it, Gen 4 is the only generation where I would pick any of the starters.
Really?
I think they have the strongest starter offering. Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup. I think Torterra, Infernape, and Empoleon are all stellar. I mean, that was the first gen where I would consider a grass starter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Turtwig is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and Infernape is so great and better as a firefighter than I thought Blaziken was. People really like Blaziken. I wasn't too big of a fan.
Right.
And Empoleon was great.
I'm a Penguin man myself.
Yeah, I go Empoleon all day long.
And I would. I'm a water starter for a long way.
So I would choose that. Fire.
I'm usually grass.
As we've established.
See, and I'm mainly water. Yeah. I'm water 1, 2, 3, and 4 at first, but I would have no issue picking
any of them.
Turtwig or Chimchar. I love them. First DS game, so really cool and exciting to kind of see, like, okay, well, like, what are they going to do with this touchscreen and stuff like that. Arguably the toughest champion, Cynthia, and her Garchomp, like, became a meme. Like, people talk about that still, how tough that battle was and how her Garchomp was just a demon.
And Garchomp is just such a freaking cool Pokemon.
Garchomp is an awesome pseudo, and I have to give him his flowers, but I very personally dislike him on a level. I dislike Garchomp on a personal level because Flygon is one of my very, very favorite Pokemon. Yeah. And he's from Gen 3. I keep saying he now that I think about it. Flygon is one of my favorite Pokemon. And it's from Gen 3. And it's a ground dragon, which I thought was so cool. Mm. And in the very next generation, they gave us a ground dragon that was way better, way more competitive.
Sure.
And like the champion had one. And I was just like, oh, well,
my buddy.
What the heck are you doing to Flygon?
Yeah.
And so I do rebel against Garchomp for that reason, but I can't deny how iconic it is.
Yeah.
Sinnoh had an awesome expansion on Gen 1 with the additional evolutions it introduced.
Yeah.
It gave a third evolution to Rhyhorn and to Electabuzz and to Magnemite and Magneton, right? Magnezone is sick. Electivire is sick. Rhyperior is sick. I feel like we got Tangrowth in that season too, which is Tangela's one evolution.
Yeah.
Like I think it built on Gen 1 really well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meshed. Gimmicky yet.
Totally.
Really. And I thought that had a great thing. The legendaries aren't my very favorite. I think it's brought down by the Lake Guardians. I think they're super lame.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, Ezelf and Uxie and Misprit or whatever they are.
Yeah.
They look way too similar to me, and I think they're lame. Heatran is also whatever.
Yeah.
But then you do have some really cool ones. Giratina is sick.
Yeah.
Darkrai is way cool.
Very cool.
And it had great, we skipped it with Gen 3, but it had the next two great evolutions with Glaceon and Leafeon. Yeah. Both really cool, really well done, really well designed. I rebel against Sylveon, personally. A little too weird, a little too cute as a fairy type. I think there's something else you could have done that clearly make it fairy without, like, bows and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, and that, it was tough for me to kind of give it to Gen 4 because it was so far removed from my Gen 1 and 2 bias and my acknowledgement later of Gen 3. But as I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this roster of Pokemon is really cool.
Hmm.
I do think it is the best starters for me. I think they built on Gen 1 really well. Like Magnezone became one of my favorite Pokemon, actually.
Yeah.
Just because it was super tough. I remember I did a report in high school because it was allowed to be on whatever. And I was trying to assemble like an optimum Pokemon team. So I was doing a lot of research with that, and I found out that Magnezone had like some of the best resistances as an electric steel type for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Super defensive. So I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. Anyway, I think best gen, as I try and look at it that way, and I put a lot of weight into the starters, but I think it might be four.
Yeah, that's interesting. Shocking, a little bit.
The top four for all of us just felt like so close, and it just all weaves into each other. Like,
yeah.
Ask me tomorrow, and I'll be like, oh, no, yeah. Well, two is number one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised at, like, how close our bottom five was all, you know, one or two off. Like, it was really similar.
Mm-hmm. I think we just had similar childhoods.
But, like, our top four really varied a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, other than Jaren's Sword and Shield, he put
that. Hey, man.
Oh, that's true.
You and I were right. Spot. You and I were in lockstep for a little
bit. I got us.
No matter what it isn't necessarily wrong because it does depend on when you got into Pokemon, like how old you are.
Huge factors.
Yeah.
It really does vary a lot. And like, I mean, I think most people would agree that Gen 1 is influential and important, but that isn't enough to like, I don't know, combat when you grew up, when you started playing Pokemon, because you're naturally going to be drawn to probably the first one you played.
Right. It's whatever you do, emotion will win.
So it's okay.
Which is, I mean,
whatever your favorites are, guys.
The other side of that coin, like, I broke my heart to put Johto in 4.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm torn. Like, I split my soul when I did that. thanks so much for listening. If you have thoughts,
I would love to
questions,
hear
questions, agreement. If there's something we left out that you're like, why didn't you consider that? This one should be way higher or way lower because of something we left out. Let us know. Because again, I'll reiterate, there's a shortcoming with this that we haven't played all of the games. We haven't been as invested and involved equally with all of them. Right. Yeah. And it, just like you saw, like it was really easy for me to say when Jaren was saying what he said about Paldea, for me to be like, oh no, like I play. That wasn't what I saw at all.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, so
I want to know if
you got to see if someone who's played all of them, please reach out.
I would like to, yeah, I would love to be told that we're dead wrong on like Gen 5 through 7. And I would love to know why.
I know. Well, I'm like, we've made our ratings independently and our top 4 were 1 through 4.
Yeah.
And our 5 through 8 was 5 through 9 was 5 through 9. Totally. So that's
tell us weird. Why we're dumb, please.
But reach out, email us at everyfanforhimself@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok.
Yeah. Do you wanna relate something real quick to us?
No, I think we've related enough. I think there's enough that we've said about the topic that I don't think there's any more related we could say. So however, if we were to venture into the realm of the unknown.
Let's go elsewhere.
Venture into the realm of the unrelated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
Just maybe.
The estranged.
I can't. Is this minor or major?
It's you're flirting with both.
Ooh,
yeah.
Flirt with me.
Yeah. This is our segment, Unrelated, where we talk about something that has nothing to do with what we were talking about. The question for you guys today is, you have to have one of these characters decorate your home. You're hiring them as an interior designer.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay. Let's say it's a modest home. You've got enough bedrooms to keep your family in and then one or two rooms to kind of play around with maybe.
Yes. Right?
Which might be more than modest these days.
Yeah,
in this market. In this climate.
In this economy.
So you've got that. You've got a reasonable yard, right?
How's my budget?
Again, it's enough.
Okay. Get it done.
They have some pretty good creative liberty.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And there's...
Extreme Home Makeover. I come home, boom.
Sure.
I'm in a different home, more or less.
But not extreme.
Okay.
Your kid's not going to get a jungle room.
Why are we even doing
this? Sure. It depends on what they can do with the budget. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. So they're stretching, right?
Tell me who my
designers are. But it's them, and you're going to have a team, right? Yeah. So you've got your general contractor, you've got the designer, you've got a landscaper.
Yeah.
Here, right?
Very important.
Okay. So which team are you going to be hiring to do this for you?
Hit me.
You have Mystery Inc.
Ooh. Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So you got Fred. Yep. Daphne, yep. Velma, Shaggy,
got it.
Scooby. Who counts?
Yeah.
He can talk, he can think, he can dress up. Yeah. He can solve crimes.
He's big.
They're not together. This is like...
That's your team.
Okay.
That's one team who is going to be contributing to and doing those things. First. Your other team is core members of the Justice League.
Oh. Okay. Is that like 7 people?
No, I'm going to say, well, let's limit it to the 5 that we have. So Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman...
The Flash.
Green Lantern Flash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That feels
yeah.
Top 5, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Aquaman.
Sure.
Sorry, Cyborg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cyborg was kind of a later addition.
Yeah.
It's usually like Martian Manhunter
or something.
Right, that's right.
That's right.
You're totally right.
I think to pick anybody by the Justice League would be a massive mistake.
Oh, no.
You think?
I think it's Mystery Inc.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you. See,
absolutely.
Can I tell you something?
Let me
you ever seen Scooby's house? Have you ever seen Shaggy's house? Have you seen Freddy's house?
Do you think
Batman had anything to do with his house?
No, what I'm saying is all of these superheroes have lairs. They have fortresses of solitude,
which are usually respectively dungeons and just
they're
like,
utilitarian.
Yeah,
they're cool.
But
the Fortress of Solitude is so cool.
It's crystal. It's only cool because it's big crystals.
Doesn't matter.
He chose
it though.
Yeah, for to be in solitude.
Okay,
it Pick worked. The Flash he has or a Batman, super. It's just understand. Computers everywhere oh, sure. in like yeah. a dank like.
Barry's is definitely just an apartment.
Yeah.
The Flash.
And
come on,
they have an understanding of what you need to accomplish.
Green Lantern has
done.
Like a whole planet he can go to.
You're making my point.
He has the eye for it. Oa that would do all of that.
We're saying that they have the resources.
I mean, it's them applying their mind and eye to your house.
So let's go down that path. Batman is a genius.
Sure.
I think the rest of them are incredible tacticians. I think they can make a pretty bang up job of your home.
I think you're conflating too many things. Those intelligences don't necessarily mean the same thing.
Look, okay.
He's also Bruce Wayne. Superman, he understands style.
I'll give you this, Jared.
I think it's thanks to Alfred.
Superman and the Flash can both read a book in, you know, a split second, right? Sure. They can read anything they want about interior design, and they could probably do the whole house before you can finish blinking.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'll give them that. Right. But they don't have that inherent, that pizzazz built into them. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'll bring in Mystery Inc., where you've got Freddy. Look at that man.
Look at that
and
ascot.
Tell me look he can't. Look at that ascot.
Look at that little neckerchief.
Look at Daphne and Freddy would do absolutely everything, exactly. And it would turn out flawless.
They're the Chip and Joanna of your dreams.
I don't agree.
Scooby and Shaggy would just drain your fridge, and that would kind of cost you.
No, but they're good workers. They're laborers because
easily distracted.
Yeah. Now all you need to do is wave a Scooby snack in front of them. Suddenly they get superpowers.
That's true. That's so true.
Right? Daphne says, "Hey, yeah, knock out this wall." Put up the fireplace, build a path around the back, and you get a box of Scooby snacks.
I think they're a little bit locked
in. Done faster than the Flash.
Now listen, I think I think Mystery Inc. is a little bit locked into their time based on the way that they dress, based on the car that they drive. I think they're a little set in their ways.
It's not one time. They've been timeless. They haven't changed clothes as much as the Justice League has. Neither has Batman.
That's because it's utilitarian.
The 70s are making a comeback, buddy.
You want a 70s shag rug home, be my guest.
Okay,
a crystal home?
I would take
more than a shag rug.
I would take the built-in bookshelves into my wall. I would take the sunken living room.
Yeah, the conversation pit.
That's okay. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I think that Superman and these guys could accomplish things that normal interior design carpenters could not accomplish. I think they'd be able to do additions to your home in an amazing way that Mystery couldn't even dream of.
Like what?
Here's
lifting, moving things. Like it's
lifting
huge.
And moving things.
Hey,
no, this is we're talking. What are they applying to it with their eye? With their knack.
Well, they bring in their
stuff. They can bring equipment. Sure. Yeah. Mystery Inc. has a forklift.
I think style wise, Batman's probably your best bet for just growing up rich.
Right.
You know, and having to put on a facade.
Right.
Having to put on a facade of, he just puts of it Bruce on. Wayne.
Yep. Right? Otherwise, though.
But Wonder Woman, Amazonian. She doesn't know anything about fashion.
Bring in the classics. I'm fine with that.
No, sorry. You've got
the Flash is
the one rich boy is your chance. Then you've got police force, military.
No,
alien.
No.
I think you're
dumb if you choose anything but Justice League. In my opinion,
because what does Justice League do, really? They are so busy saving the world.
But I think they have insane resources. They're like, you say you want this one thing. They're like, I know someone that can get that imported.
You saying that one thing.
They could maybe do it like a good job for cheaper. Like they could probably find some like good cheap like materials and make it like look nice. But I think maybe. At the end of the day, Mystery Inc. is going to do a better job. I think you would have a better argument if it was maybe the Teen Titans actually.
Right.
Instead of the Justice League.
Yeah, I think you might too. I think Justice League worries about what they need to worry about, and design doesn't even register, except to maybe Batman.
Disagree.
Yeah, I'm also taking Mystery Inc.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Reach out. Catch us for next episodes. We're going to be posting weekly.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's, you got to trust me when I say it this time.
Yeah.
We've heard you before.
We were joking before.
We've led you astray. This is the long con. Wasn't that funny that we did that so many times and so often? Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Catch you next week.
See you soon.
See you later.